to the authority of Christ. And folks, see that point when you very simply lay that out for them, they see the point. I'll give you an example. We talked about early on, a few weeks back, about the ruler and the stick and the difference between division and unity. Well, we're divided as can be when we just guess based upon what we think the measurement of that stick was. But it wasn't until we had an agreed upon standard that we began to be unified on that. This study on Saturday, folks were able to see that easy. So I asked them a question in our last study. Suppose I wanted to go down the road and build a building and put Church of Donnie Oliver on it, and you believe what I teach, and we'll call you Oliver Knights. Would there be any problem with that? You know what their response was? No. And one gentleman spoke up. I said, what would be wrong with that? He spoke up and said, because it would be a church established by men. People get the point. That's easy to see, not always easy to accept, but Christ has all authority, and that is arrived by what the Bible says. If Colossians 3 verse 17 says that whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of or by the authority of Christ. And folks, we are obligated, duty bound, to have book, chapter, verse for the things that we say. And if we have no authority for it, then we cannot do it. We will be acting outside the realm of His authority, which the New Testament refers to as lawlessness or iniquity. Depart from me, I never knew ye that work iniquity. Matthew 7, verse 23. That means without His authority. Therefore, the Bible is our source of authority in how much? In everything. Doesn't matter what I think about it, what you think about it, the person you're studying with, no matter what they think about it, it's what the Scriptures teach. And you need to point that out to them when you're having a study, that what they think about it is not the source of authority. Of course, we just went through the false standards of authority in number two in this study. Therefore, the Bible is our source of authority in everything. All Scripture is breathed out by God. Again, by inspiration of God, the King James Version says, but it literally means it was breathed out by God. God breathed. He's the source of it. It came from Him and not man. And provides us with all that we need. I stick on that point with them. I want them to see that the Scriptures do not partially equip us unto some good works, but they thoroughly equip us unto what? Every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And 2 Peter 1 verse 3 says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things, not some, not part, not few, but all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And so if it has to do with living a godly life before the God of heaven, our Father, then He's given us all things in the Bible. Contend for the faith which was once, the idea being once and for all time delivered unto saints. Where's that at? You know where that's at. When I give all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it's needful for me to write unto you. Jude 3. Good job. I think that was June who said that. All Scripture, every word is inspired. Plenary inspiration. Psalm 119, 160, Galatians 3, and then verse 16. The point that I think the author of this put in here from Galatians chapter 3, and verse 16 was the argument made based upon one letter. He did not say unto seeds, but unto, not seeds as of many, but unto seed. And so the words are inspired in the Bible. Now we've talked about, spent a lot of time on how we arrived at our English Bible, at our English translation. We understand that every word that they penned down was given to them by the Holy Spirit. The New Testament originally written in what language? Greek. The Old Testament? Hebrew. Now I ask you, were the Greek words and the Hebrew words given by men or God? God. Not man, but God. The words themselves. Now, many times folks have the idea that, well, it's been translated so many times until eventually the truth got translated out of it. As to say that you had the original, we've covered this before, but you had the original, and then from the original someone translated it, and then from that translation someone translated it again, and from that translation someone translated it again. Well, that's not how we arrived at the English Bible. That's a misconception of how we came to have our English Bible. They took the original language, the original tongues, they didn't say the original text that doesn't exist, that's been found to this point, but the original language and made a translation. And in fact, open up your Bible, if you use the King James Version, to where it has the title page. It often says, translated out of the original Greek and with the former translations diligently compared. So all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, not of man, but of God. Not the thoughts, but the words themselves. We on the same page? Everyone agree that the words themselves were given by God? Good for you. The revelation of God's Word has been completed. There is no new revelation today. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, that I mentioned to you, Jude, in verse 3. Paul in that text in Galatians chapter 1 said, though we or who? Or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed, yielded up the wrath of God. And so God's Word has been completely, once and for all time, revealed. And it's sufficient to the saving of the soul. Very briefly on this chain of authority, because we covered this and I gave you a handout on a chain of authority. It came from God. He gave the word to Christ, who made known the commandments to the apostles through the instrumentality of the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and passages in John. The apostles, what did they do with it? They taught it and wrote it down. So that Paul would say, when you read what was revealed unto me, then you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, Ephesians 3, verses 3 through 5. So, we do not have a direct revelation today given to me. I'll pick the book up and do like you have to do, and I've got to spend time studying it. Spend time reading it. Well, that does away with a number of things. If the Bible alone is the standard of authority, what does that do away with? Well, we looked at Galatians chapter 1. That does away with someone saying, well, an angel told me. That does away with someone saying, well, some other man preached something else to me and told me. What else does it do away with? You just go down this list, but it does away with some direct operation of the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit came to me last night and said, now hold on, if the Bible is sufficient to the saving of the soul, James 1:21, given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, then how is it that you have something that I don't have? And Blaine doesn't have. Doesn't the Bible say God is no respecter of persons, by the way? The Bible puts all men on level ground at the foot of the cross. We have the same word that we can search and we can believe and obey. And so, it does away with the notion that someone says, well, God laid it on my heart. I didn't know what I was going to preach this last Sunday till I got in the pulpit and God laid it on my heart. I worked with a fellow, a very, very nice fellow. But yet, I said, come and go to service with me. Well, it's wherever the Lord leads me. Folks, this is how God leads us, and God says, go. Go worship me. John 4 and verse 24, in spirit and in truth. And so, we have all in the Bible. Any thoughts, comments about that? We'll jump over to number 3. As we think about establishing Bible authority, we study first of all that we that the Bible is a source of authority, but how do we arrive at authority when we read the Bible? Well, many times folks are guilty of casting out of the window good reasoning and logic and really common sense that many times is not all so common today. When they study everything else and they use those same principles, those same rules to arrive at truth when they study other things, but then it comes to the Bible and somehow it doesn't apply. Somehow, if we're going to play basketball, we've got to go by the rule book. But if we're going to become Christians and serve God, we don't have to go by the Bible. But well, how do we establish Bible authority? Now, you may have heard it stated before that there's three ways in which Bible authority is ascertained, or you arrive at Bible authority in one of three ways. Your lesson here lists four, because he separates a direct command from a direct statement. And so if you think about the ways in which you arrive at authority, a lot of this is just common sense. When you read something and the Bible says to do it, well, are we obligated to do it? Well, yes, if it's a direct command, but you've got to observe the context, and we understand that. But pray without ceasing. Am I duty bound to pray on a continual basis as a result of what that direct statement, direct command says? Well, sure. Four ways to determine authority. Someone read that first point for us. Okay, just keep on reading A and B.
Direct command, necessary inference, and appropriate example.
Okay. And then the lesson is going to go through each one of these. But what would be the difference between a statement of fact and a direct command? Just so we're on the same page and not confused about anything. Now, often we hear direct commands. Again, one Philippians 4, verse 6, or 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17.
Statement of fact be an example be Jesus is the Son of God.
Okay. It's a statement of fact. And sometimes a statement of fact, as will be covered in this lesson, I think it's this lesson, doesn't always authorize a particular doing of something, just making a statement. When they had ordained them elders in every church. That's a statement of fact. So it's stating something that they did. Whereas a direct command is a command for you and I to do something. Sing. Make a melody in your heart. Under the Lord, Ephesians 5 and in verse 19. This do ye in remembrance of me. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And all the others that you can think about it. So that's a statement of fact, a direct command. What's a necessary inference? I like the idea of a forced conclusion better because I think it's a little bit more clear. But that's just me. What is meant by a necessary inference?
Even just a statement that you made where there's elders in every church. It would imply there's just not a singular.
Okay, good. Here. Good. I thought that example. That's a good example. Notice that a key word in that is force. Not something you just want to infer, but something you are forced to. The logical conclusion of it is, and here it is, where the passage may be. Jesus came up out of the water and infers. He went down into the water. That's logical. Okay. Good job. Good job. It's an excellent example. Acts chapter 8. Text doesn't say that he was specifically taught about that, but it is inferred based upon his response to it. Good job. An approved example. Of the four, I think this one can be the one that probably more questions come up. perhaps. Well, how do you know when an example is binding? There's a lot of examples in the Bible of people doing a whole lot of things. So how do you kind of decipher what is a binding example versus just an example, a statement that someone did something? But what is meant here by an approved example? Acts 20, verse 7, partaking of the Lord's Supper. And you've got an opportunity to write some of these things down as each one of these is mentioned. Direct commands and statements of fact. God has given direct commands in His Word that provide us with authority. This encompasses the thou shalt and thou shalt not commandments. And by the way, we're told many things to not do. And many things to do that do not use the specific words thou shalt and thou shalt not. Sometimes the Bible will say abstain from, put on, put off, have no fellowship with. But the Bible also contains statements of fact from which we establish authority. List three examples of direct commands or statements of fact in the New Testament from which we find authority and what they authorize. Now, you've had time to fill this out, so I'm interested in hearing from you on three things. Direct command, statement of fact, by which we receive authority from. Direct statement or command. Of all these, this one is probably the easiest. What is that one, please? What's the point being made there? Go. That was a direct command. A statement of fact. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. The command to go. The direct statement. He that believeth and is baptized. Preach the gospel. What? I didn't hear you. Yeah, the gospel's specific. Don't go and preach your opinion, but go and preach the gospel. Statement of faith. Command. What else? Who else wants to share what they got? Now, unless you just got yours tonight, it should be filled out. Right? What is another thing? When you think about the acts of worship, just to help you out a little bit. Do we have direct command for what we do upon the Lord's Day?
Stole 1 Corinthians 16:12.
What about 1 Corinthians 16, 1-2? Again, Mark 16:15. Is what he said. Even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by his sword. So it's a direct command. Who else?
13:3.
What's that one about, Judy?
It's if you repeat, you shall not.
13:3. Is Luke 13, and it fits here with this first one, is that a direct command or a statement of faith?
Implies both. I mean, it's a statement of fact.
Yeah, you imply you have to do this because based upon the statement that is made. And so pay attention to those as you're studying through the Bible. We're talking about arriving at authority. Now, folks, if Christ has all authority, we've just got 2 minutes left, so we're not going to finish. We're not going to get any farther than this point. But if we say that the Bible is the revealed Word of God, we must have authority for all that we do, and it's revealed in the Bible, no exceptions to that, that we have to have authority for all we do, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, because He said all, then what is the condition, what would be our condition before God if we undertook to do something of which there was no authority found in the Bible? Right or wrong? It would be wrong. It would be without His authority. And that's simple to see. If I say, well, I can do some things outside of the Bible, it really doesn't matter. We're going to get to that when we talk about the silence of the Scriptures. Are the silence of the Scriptures, do they loose an individual or do they bind an individual? Just think of that. Think of it. And we'll talk about that and give you some examples concerning that. Well, that talks about then direct commands and statements of faith. We find authority through the direct commands and statements of fact given in the Word of God. Any thoughts, comments, questions? Appreciate it, John. Thank you. Appreciate your participation. Anything else? I'm going to guess before I sit down. We probably in the next session will not get through this section. But don't just drop it. Take it home and fill it out and study it and practice going through the New Testament to really find how these things apply. Be the better Bible student for it. I appreciate your good attention.